Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer. And the question on my mind today is, Darren Peterson really, quote-unquote, sitting out, or is it all smoke? We'll attempt to get to the bottom of that today because we have one college basketball expert, one guy who claims he's an expert in everything. I'm just kidding. I'm being mean to the king here, but we got, as the king dubbed them, the king and Jimmy Schweitzer, we got conference championship week coming up here. You know, we're kind of in the thick of it right now, but the major conferences are about to start their tournaments. So, yeah, should be a fun show today talking college basketball. So who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
All right, now pulling up to the pod is the king, and now reoccurring guest, in air quotes, the Schwei, otherwise known as Jimmy Schweitzer. Jimmy, let me start there. Has anyone ever called you the Schwei, ever? Is that the king? Did he give you that one? Do you even want that as a nickname?
That is the king. No one else has called me that, so it's an original. But I'm happy to stick with it, especially on this podcast.
All right, I think it's very apropos. It was one year was a fantasy a football team name of mine because I was with a guy named John Schweitzer, and it was the King and Schwei off the Broadway musical, The King and I. I thought for your generation, maybe not, but, you know, back in the 80s, it was, everybody knew what that was, The King and Schwei, and they thought it was quite clever.
Yeah, my dad's name is actually John, so I don't think it's the same one, but close enough.
This guy was from Greendale, and if you're his son, anyway, let's move on.
I haven't seen the play. Do they have The King and I? Do they have that in a movie version?
Yes, it's called The King and I. It's actually based on a play called Anna and the King of Siam. Yul Brynner won an Oscar for his portrayal of the king, Deborah Carr. Yes, it's a known, but you mention it to your sister, Anna. She will know it, being a theater girl as a youngster. She will know it. Yes.
I'll have to check it out. I'm very uninformed on the King and I, but I guess, yeah, we got the King and Schwei today. We're going to talk some March Madness. Starting to make this more of a yearly tradition. I guess is 2 years in a row, is that count as tradition? You guys were both on, you know, around this time last year. And to pat myself and Jimmy on the back a little bit here, we had it right. We both had picked Houston to win the championship, and then our team collapsed in the final seconds of the championship game. And the king, who got lucky, he watched like six college basketball games and said, "Oh, it's Florida. It's Florida." You got lucky. Emmanuel Sharp double dribbled there, and the clock ran out. There was still 5 seconds left on the clock. If Sharp gets an actual look from three there, I think me and Jimmy are sitting here and bragging about how we picked Houston. But, Florida did end up winning, so we'll give the king, I guess, a smidgeon of credit here because he did
don't,
pick the
Don't forget,
champion.
Too, I told you guys that Texas Tech was going to beat Florida in the Elite Eight, and that went down to the last 5 seconds. So it was close enough. But I think, in theory, I was right the whole time.
That's it. This tournament's all about, you're going to get the blue bloods there, or the top teams. You know, you're going to get them. It's got to, you know, every once in a while there's like that Final Four with Loyola and, you know, those other teams that were in that year. I can't remember who Loyola lost to. Was that Butler, I think? Very rarely. But it's picking that team that sneaks in or that, you know, that fourth team, typically. Yeah. Sometimes you get two, but yeah.
Right. But yeah, so we don't necessarily, last time we did have the brackets in front of us. And like I said, we did a pretty decent job, you know, three, All three of us had a team in the championship game there. And I do want to talk about March Madness. Obviously, we got the conference championship week. But briefly, I wanted to touch on some pretty big NFL news. And, Jimmy, I know you're the college basketball expert, but I know you follow some NFL as well. And I definitely want the King's thoughts on this as well, because he's a big football guy. But Max Crosby gets traded from the Raiders to the Ravens. I think the Ravens sent back like two first-round picks in exchange for Crosby here. I guess I'll start with the King here. Is Joe Burrow cooked now that all of his rivals have an elite edge rusher? He's got to compete against Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, now Max Crosby. Anywhere he looks, his division rivals seems like a top five pass rusher. What is Joe Burrow going to do here? He's cooked, right?
Joe Burrow is not cooked. And I'll tell you what, watch him. He has operated with a crappy offensive line forever. Even the year they went to the Super Bowl, they had issues. The Rams, ran through them like they were a sieve. And that's what cost them the Super Bowl. But he is used to throwing from back there. I know he's banged up all the time, and I know they've got to do a better job of protecting him. You do that with a running game. You do that where even if you can't, generate good pass protection, get something of a running game. I don't care if you got to patch it together, whatever you got to do. But even without that, he's proven he can sit back there and throw darts forever. He knows defenses. He's got an incredible arm, and he's got a great attitude. He'll just sit back, and he's got the weapons. God knows he's got the weapons, the wide receivers. He's not done.
And he's got his work cut out for him, though, with some defensive menaces here on his opponent's team.
He's been facing behemoths his whole life. The Super Bowl that, oh, what was his name, made his life miserable. That the old Rams lineman.
Donald.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl.
He takes hits, and KC put it to him one time, and he is as tough as they come, the guy, and I love his attitude. He's just a gamer. He loves to compete. He loves to go for the kill, and he's too good to say he's done. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy, any thoughts on the Max Crosby trade?
Yeah, for sure. Crosby is a lot of people were comparing it to Parsons in the trade that the Packers made, but Crosby's a different player. He's the true game wrecker, where he's on the field every single down. He's blowing up run plays as well as putting a pass rush on. So he's going to impact the game a ton. But at the same time, I do agree with the King over there that Burrow is just probably too high level of a player. I think he wins at the line before the snap, and he's killed Baltimore the past three or four years. Where I'm not sure one guy like Crosby can change that. So I would lean on the side of not cooked.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, speaking of not cooked, but speaking of your team, you got the championship merch on today. You're a diehard Kansas Jayhawks fan. Kansas having a lot more success, I guess this year than they did last year. I don't know if they're not top 10 right now. They're top 15. They've beaten some top 10 teams this year for sure, and that's a lot of that's to do with they have the right now. I think the presumptive number one pick in the NBA draft, Darren Peterson, great player. But unfortunately, kind of the main storylines around Darren Peterson this year haven't been of how good of a player he is, how, he'll probably be the number one pick. The main storylines following him are, is this kid, sitting out? Is he faking injuries to, sit out of these Kansas games and save himself for the NBA here? As a Kansas fan who's probably watching, a majority of these games, do you think he's really, sitting out, practicing load management, or is this all kind of smoke? And an additional question to that, why did he come off the bench yesterday as well? That would be another question, kind of two-part question.
Yeah, and I guess my question in return is, do you want the 5-minute or the 10-minute answer here? Because I can
go for all day. Give me the 15-minute answer.
Yeah.
Give us all of it.
let me address your second question first. He came off the bench yesterday. It was senior day, so he, being a freshman, he didn't start, but he did play 30 minutes, and he has played 30-plus minutes the past three or four games.
Okay.
Now, that being said, there's been a lot of weird stuff going on, obviously, and it's been going all year. I think part of the problem here is that when the NFL ended and everybody turned their attention to basketball, all the talking heads saw him check out of a game. So before I explain my theory on this, I'd like to first say that I think conspiracy theories kind of get off the rails here in these situations because,
yeah,
you know, it's when people can't explain a situation, they fill in the gaps themselves. And yeah, a lot of times it's lazy work to fill it in, and then people hear what other people say and it spreads.
Yeah.
On top of that, I like to think that I have some inside sources, boots on the ground, as you'd say, in Lawrence. I can give you a couple things that I would say I know to be true. Number one, he had a hamstring injury. He had an ankle injury, and he does have cramping issues. Number two, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. His dad and his agent are involved in a decision-making process here. So it gets complicated. What I suspect to be true, I think it's all made up that he's quitting. He doesn't like basketball. That's a theory. He doesn't like playing, which that's crazy to me. I don't think he's faking injuries. I don't think he's load managing. What I think is happening is he has a cramping issue that causes him not to play at his full potential, and he's been instructed not to play in that situation. Sure. And if you think about when you were 19 years old, DK, think back that far. your dad, if you're a generational talent at anything, and your father says, don't risk generational wealth for you and your family just to play, I'm sitting for sure if I'm a 19-year-old and my dad's telling me that, right? So I think there's some truth to that. And at the same time, he is, I think, struggling with cramping. And it supposedly, and I've heard this is a rumor, I can't verify this, but maybe in the summer he played through the cramping issues and he went into what was apparently a full body cramp. And he almost, it probably looked not so great, and he struggled with it mentally for a while, and
that sounds painful.
Yeah. Imagine a cramp.
I've never heard of that
in your whole body yet.
I've had that after a night of drinking, but geez.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think he's been struggling with that physically, mentally, and maybe some advisement from the outside on whether to play or not. But that being said, he has played the past three or four games. He looked, he had 27 and 29 minutes yesterday, looked healthy. I think we might be past all of it, so we'll see. How's that?
Yeah, you don't. No, that's a great answer. You kind of don't expect. I mean, obviously, if he runs into the cramps, I guess he's more likely to play through it if it's in the Big 12 or the NCAA tournament. So probably, you know, hopefully, the end of all this, you know, kind of rumor mill. Maybe I contribute to that, unfortunately. I don't know. It's a good talking point. It's a good way to open a podcast.
If I'm a team drafting on top, that's good to hear, because my thought coming into this conversation, I did not know any of this. You know, I know a little bit about him, but what I've read would alarm me. And it would alarm me from this point of view, that he's this prima donna kind of guy that's going to bring all kinds of baggage every year about where he wants to go, whether he wants to play, whether he's tanking. And, you know, you after a while you get sick of it. And I'm sure everything I've read about him and seen, the couple of times I've seen him, is he's phenomenal. But, you know, do you want that pain and that baggage? So this is a good cut. You know, I don't mind what you just said, Jimmy, if I'm picking one, you know. Because he's head and shoulders, according to everybody, the top talent. So,
by all accounts, he's a great kid, a very hard worker. His teammates love him. His coaches love him. There's something going on health-wise. And I think, you know, if it's something serious, the NBA teams will know during the medical checkout. But I think we'll see him full go the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, no, I guess I'm surprised, like, some of these injury concerns haven't moved him. Because coming into the year, I think some people thought the BYU guy, A.J. DeBonso, was going to be that number one pick. But then Peterson kind of moved ahead of him. I'm surprised the injury concerns haven't moved him down. But maybe that's because these NBA teams kind of have that knowledge of he's sitting out in the right spots. You know, he's being very strategic about it. And that's maybe what the team's like and why he hasn't slid down the draft board at all.
Well, I think his stock has taken a little bit of a hit, but that is a direct argument for him not playing or load managing, because people have questioned whether he should be the number one pick. If he was doing this just to take care of himself and load manage, why risk the draft stock, right? I mean, if he plays, he's the number one guy. That's the theory, though. So.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I wish the young man well now based on that. But you don't know. And you're watching this and you're seeing it in the NBA. God knows we've seen enough of it there. And you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go. Next thing we'll be going to our local high school game. And they're sitting kids, you know, for a couple weeks or something.
Who knows? That'd be interesting. Yeah, maybe if they bring back the high school to NBA, you know, rule, that kind of pipeline there. But yeah, I don't know. It's been an interesting story to follow.
Like I said, that's some speculation, so don't take all that to heart. But that's my understanding and me filling in the gaps of what may be going on here.
But filling in some of the gaps that the conspiracy theorists and the ESPNs of the world have been peddling and, you know, making a podcast host like myself, you know, spend probably way more time on this story than I really need to. I don't know. Darren Peterson himself, I think this is a direct quote. He described himself as an antisocial loner. So it's like, like, where are you even getting this information? Like, he's not talking to a lot of people anyways, you know. Well, it's all just speculation, right?
He's been very, like, and I think that's part of his camp saying we don't want him talking, but he hasn't talked much at all to the press, which makes it more frustrating because people want to know answers. And, you know, the more frustrated you get without answers, you start thinking negatively. And the easiest way to fill in the gaps when you're feeling that way is to put in, you know, bad vibes to him. So that, I think that's a lot of how this kind of took off. And that's why we're here, I guess. So.
Maybe that's why I invited you on. I need a Kansas fan's opinion of it all.
Darren's little bulldog tonight.
But to kind of stay with your expertise in Kansas, and obviously you can feel free to answer Kansas unless, you know, you're worried about jinxing your own team. I want to talk a little bit about the Big 12 tourney. I think the Big 12 is at least at the top one of the strongest conferences overall, you know, in college basketball this year. Who do you think is going to go out here and win the Big 12 tourney? You got a lot of ranked teams, some juggernauts in the Big 12 that I could see, you know, winning it all.
Yeah, it's a great conference this year. It's as good as I can remember it in a handful of years. I mean, obviously, front runner and easy money is Arizona. They're my money, one of the two best teams in the country. That being said, I'm going to sound like a homer. Some things broke yesterday for Kansas in a way that I like their bracket. They're plus 800 to win the tournament. That's great money. I'll say that. Oh. And just for content, I will take them to win this tournament. I think they match up really well to get to the title game with Arizona. And at that point, they're playing in Kansas City, and, you know, they beat them once.
To be clear, Jimmy, that's the Big 12 tourney.
Yes.
Nope. They're plus 800. Wow.
Plus 800.
That is a good number, actually.
And they're all home games for them? That doesn't seem fair.
Well, they're playing in Kansas City, so they're an hour away from Lawrence. But and honestly, Iowa State travels to that arena just as well as Kansas does. But, you know, they match up really well in their first couple of games. And then if they get Arizona after a couple of games in Kansas City, I like their chances. So I'll take Kansas for that one.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you think I'd be kind of correct in my assessment that Even though the Big 12 is more of the, you know, like one of the stronger conferences, they're kind of top heavy. You know, they're maybe not as deep as these other conferences, but you look at the top five, like they all got, they're all those, you know, top five, top six teams are teams that could, you know, really go on a run here in March.
I would say yes and no. So the top of it, really, really good. Stacks up really well with the Big Ten, and those are the two best conferences. You look at the very bottom of the Big 12, Kansas State and Utah are just garbage teams. They suck. But in the middle of that, there are some competent teams like UCF and Cincinnati. Those teams are competent teams where you take a night off and you're going to get a loss. So that mixed with a few less teams than the Big Ten or the SEC makes it a tough conference to go, you know, night after night playing those games. To me, it's the toughest conference to play in. I'm probably a little bit of a homer again, but there's only two teams that you look at and say that's a gimme.
Right. No, that's fair. To be a little bit of a homer myself, I would personally say, and I'm completely biased as a Badger fan, I think the Big Ten is the best conference in basketball. But I got some pushback from the King, who's maybe not as sold on the Big Ten as me. So I want to start with you here, King. Who do you think's the best conference in college basketball this year?
I think it's the Big 12, and I'm telling you, the conference that I think is could get two teams into the Final Four is the ACC. They go deep, not teams that could win it. I think Duke is the only legitimate shot there. But I think you can get I'm actually jumping ahead with my wild card selection. The team I'm going to pick to the Final Four is Virginia. I like that they got guard play, and they've got a big. They got a guy that I can't remember the guy's name, Endebiso, or that I wrote it down too. Oh man, this is the second or third time I've seen
a tough name to pronounce.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Anunoby,
the brutal one.
And that guy is good. Now, to play these big teams, I've watched them, and they've been in, like, I did some research. They've been in all these really tight games during the year, sometimes against not, you know, such stellar opponents, but, you know, at least 500 above opponents. But they've won every one but one. They're like 7 of 8 or something like that. They're in 5-point games or less. I mean, they're tested. They've got another guard off the bench. They've got guard play. This kid Thomas, if you just haven't seen this guy, he's pretty good. And that's what you need. You need one assassin at least, like, and then some other people. And you need a big, really helps. You play Michigan or some of these teams, you got to have somebody that you can funnel things to. I really like them. I like Duke, and Duke with the injury last night kind of took the. That's who I was going to pick, and I never picked Duke. And I want to talk about Arizona, Jimmy. They get my Pete Townsend Award this year. Pete Townsend of the Who. And you're the old
what
folks
award is that?
This one. I Won't Get Fooled Again, his song. We Won't Get Fooled Again. I have bet on that damn team. They have cost me in brackets where they go out after a round or two. They come up like cupcakes. And just against such great teams, and I'm not falling in that trap this year. I'm not doing it. I it's my manifesto for the year. No more Arizona. Last year I said that's it. I got fooled into them again, and they cost me. But I'm picking Duke to win it. And last night,
even with the injury,
I know that's a crucial part of it, but boy, oh boy, I really liked the way they were playing. And even more so than like last year, I thought they got bogged down, like trying to get flagged constantly the ball instead of being in a flow of the game. And that Knippel really came out, you know, and look at, they had those two stars and they didn't win it. You really want a team that's playing in a flow, but you got to have guard play. Look at the guy from Florida, what he did last year. He carried that team through the A&M game and through other games. That guy's not on the. I mean, he was incredible.
Shout out Walter Clayton Jr. Yeah, he probably won you some March Madness pools, huh, King?
No, in Florida. No, because of Arizona. I don't even want to think about that team. I'm
at least you had the champion, right?
You watch. Now this will be the year they win it. But all I needed them a couple years is to the Final Four where they had, you know, I bought into the hype. I'd see them play a great game against, you know, a Pac-10 at that time or a Pac, you know, opponent, and I'd be buy into it. And the next thing I know, you know, the only one I'll ever take out of that conference is Dana Altman team, you know, that Oregon teams when he has good teams, you know. This year, now they're Big Ten, right? Yeah, oh, they're Big
Ten. Yeah, no, that's an interesting point on Arizona because they got some amazing big men right here. I don't know if you've seen Koa Pete. Like, it is impossible to score on Arizona in the paint, and it's impossible to stop them from scoring in the paint. But they're not a team that shoots a lot of threes. So I could see Arizona, if they run into a team that gets hot from three, they could maybe be one of those upsets early on. But yeah, you two would both say Big 12 is the best conference right now, and I'll go with the homer pick of the Big 10.
I mean, because again, like Jimmy said too, I mean, up top it's hard to argue, but I'll tell you, you know, you go 6-7 teams, and I think, you know, good to very good teams, you know, as you get from the 5 up is ACC, you know. Yeah. I shouldn't say very, you know, but good teams. And I'll take them very close second. Big Ten, I'm not, you know, your dad was on last week and he brought up a good point about Wisconsin and other teams in that conference. So inconsistent. I mean, you know, anybody from Michigan State to Wisconsin, I mean, all up and down. None of those teams can string, you know, games together and then, you know, I guess that may be true in some other conferences too, but
Wisconsin
wouldn't
could
trust any of those teams.
We're the giant slayer. We've won, I think, four or five ranked wins in a row. You know, we'll lose to, you know, maybe an unranked Oregon team, but if you're ranked, we're gonna beat you. It'll be interesting to see kind of which conferences come out on top here in March. I want to talk about. I don't really want to talk about the MAC, but I wanted to mention a team from the MAC, Miami of Ohio. They go 31-0. They ended up finishing the regular season undefeated, and he did kind of backtrack on it, I think, today. But Bruce Pearl had kind of been in a little bit of a beef when he's on the air, you know, on CBS or whatever, talking about how he thinks Auburn should be in over Miami of Ohio. He's saying if Miami of Ohio doesn't win the MAC tournament, you know, they don't deserve to be in March Madness. I think they should have to win their conference tournament. And then he's advocating for, you know, a mediocre Auburn team. I think they're something like 16-14, just a very middling Auburn team and kind of a down year for the SEC. But King, I wanted to ask you about this quote from Bruce Pearl, which was kind of crazy to me that he said this out loud. He said, "Am I rooting for my son to make the NCAA tournament? Of course I am. Did I help my son get the Auburn job? Nepotism? Of course I did." Why would he say this out loud? Like, we all knew it. We all knew he gave his son, Stephen Pearl, the team. But why say it out loud?
First of all, let me go back. He gave me the greatest college basketball moment of my life when he coached my alma mater, the UWM team to the Sweet 16, beating Boston College too when I lived in Connecticut. I had bragging rights over a lot of people I knew.
Maybe and, I'm barking up the wrong
including
tree.
Including Mike Epstein, who was a Connecticut fan. They did better than Connecticut. I'm not sure that year, but
Mike Epstein, but relation to Jeffrey, I hope.
No, this is
okay,
a
good,
completely
good.
Different family.
Different Epstein.
Now, let me also go into this and say, Al McGuire said it. He used to have his son Allie playing on his team, and he'd go, "I got guys on this complaint." He would say this out loud at dinners. I heard him speak at Marquette when I was going to Marquette. He said, people said, you know, how can you, you know, play this son, you know, give him all these minutes? You got all these stars on the bench. He said, "I love my son. You better be damn good if you're going to play ahead of my boy." And that was, I mean, come on. Pearl is being real. He's being honest and about it. But now let's address the comment. The comment is a bunch of horse hockey. That team's won every game. They're it. Let's not even start debating it or anything. That's just too good a record. You're in. If you got to sit there and argue with a team that's got like 17 wins, 12 losses, the 64 teams, if you can't get in that 64 and you're on the edge, too bad. The 64 teams. Get out. You got no argument. I'm not arguing about 64, 65, 66.
Pearl might have realized his mistake, because I think he backtracked today and said, I'm kind of hoping Akron wins that tournament now, because then the MAC would get two teams in. It's like, oh, now you think Miami of Ohio's in. But I don't know. Did you take offense to Bruce Pearl's comments there at all, Jimmy?
I don't know
if you've been following it.
He's a jovial guy. He's a
You're biased, though, because I didn't realize. Yeah, Bruce Pearl. Coach your alma mater. But Jimmy, you took offense. I was flabbergasted, taken aback by these Pearl comments. Just SEC propaganda at its finest.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like you said, he said what we all knew, right? I mean, they didn't run a job interview or talk to anybody else. They just hired his son, you know. It was they're seeing how that's going right now. And
I didn't expect him to actually say the word nepotism. Yeah. He's like, I don't even
You know, that guy's got a long history of saying things he probably shouldn't. So, you know, and like DK said, more importantly, they're not in over Miami of Ohio. That team hasn't lost a game yet. They got to be in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even if they lose round one in the MAC, I think, knock on wood, they should be a lock here. But speaking of locks, I got a question for the King about his locks, and then at the end we have some questions the King wants to ask. But I want to start here with the King. Do you have any etch it in stone locks for us this March?
I'm gonna tell you this. Until last night I was gonna lock Duke in as my number one. And I'm not trying to hedge on this, Matthew. I really liked them. I liked the way they were playing. And I don't know that this guy being out kills him all that much. I mean, it hurts him from what I've read, but, you know, you need a deep rotation in this. I mean, at least eight guys for sure, you know, but I don't know. I'll stick with them. But I'm telling you that the plays that I like, a couple of upsetters. Yeah. I like Iowa State. I like Virginia. And I'll tell you who can knock off a lot of teams is St. John's. St. John's has got like some crazy, you watch them play. They take teams out of their style of play. They do some things that you get on a court with them and all of a sudden you get blitzed. They've got a different way
King,
of playing. You know, it's
not to cut you off. And I'll admit I did not watch the game, but did you see the final score of St. John's UConn game recently? It was bad.
Yeah, they got blown out by UConn at home, and you expected
it was bad, Johnny. I think it was like 72-40. I couldn't imagine being a fly on the wall with Rick Pitino in that locker room. But maybe that's what they needed to kind of maybe snap out of it, make the Johnnies a threat.
There's no way they win the tournament. Maybe they have a shot at the Final Four, but they'd have to get a very advantageous, you know, a journey there, playing the right teams, you know.
I think it'd be UConn in that conference with a shot.
You look up and you're playing them, and you're not used to their style of play, and you look up and you're down by, you know, 15 points or something. I mean, they'll blitz you, you know, like Pitino's teams, want to do. That's a team I like. There was one other team I kind of zeroed in
Wisconsin.
On, I can't remember, but
you're thinking of,
you know,
Wisconsin.
I'll stick with Duke. I don't like Arizona. Michigan can be beat by a lot of teams. They deserve to be the favorite, but look, the Badgers knocked them off. Yeah. And I'm not thrilled with the Big Ten this year. And but
no, I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate the insight there, and I've been known to jinx some things on this show, and I hate Duke, so I wanna agree with you here right now and personally guarantee Duke is going to win the championship this year, no questions asked. It will happen. But here, yeah, like I said, we don't have the bracket yet, but I want to get, you know, maybe an early Final Four from you guys. So I'll start with you, Jimmy. You got an early shot in the dark Final Four for me here without, you know, we obviously won't know the bracket. You know, maybe they could all four end up being in the same, you know, region of the bracket. But that's why it's a shot in the dark. But kind of, yeah, who are your top four? We'll start with Jimmy, and then we'll have the King. Yeah. I think he alluded to some of them, but
it's hard without the bracket.
But yeah, no. I got a couple. I think that I feel pretty confident in, and I think one of the big things, and I think DK or the King or whatever you're going by mentioned this earlier. Guard play is a huge part of this in March. My only problem with St. John's is how physical they play, because they let people do that all through the season, and then when it gets to the tournament that everyone's watching, they call these games so tight that I think St. John's is going to end a game where they're going to get in foul trouble and just not have enough guys on the floor to kind of compete in those games. So I would say if I had to pick four teams that I thought were going to go to the Final Four before seeing the bracket, I think I would lean towards Michigan. Okay. They just seem to kill everybody that they play. Yeah. Which is hard to argue with. Houston has struggled, but I think their guard play is as good as anybody's in the country. So I'm gonna put them in there. This one's gonna be a little bit off the wall. I'm kind of deciding between Michigan State or Arkansas. I'll say Arkansas. They have a guard named Darius Acuff who scores 30 points a night. It seems like he's unbelievable. I hate their coach over there, but he's got a good team, so you
never
know.
You're not a Calipari guy?
No, I'm not a Calipari guy.
Why
I don't
is that?
Care for him, I would reverse the question and say, why would you like the guy?
Yeah,
I have liked some of the. He's made some good comments about kind of the transfer portal and how they need to rein in the madness a little bit. But no, I mean, yeah, I don't know why I would like him either. That's a good question.
He's good for a sound bit, but he's most of what he says is he's kind of full of it. And then my last Final Four team, they're chokers until they're not. I think it's going to be Arizona, and that's who I picked to win the whole thing right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I would love to see, obviously, my Badgers win it all, but I don't know. I've been a little down on Houston, but I so badly for Emmanuel Sharp. I want Houston to maybe go back, and if it's not the Badgers, I almost want Houston to win it because I had a future on Houston. I it was one of the best bets I'd ever made, and then Emmanuel Sharp didn't touch the ball because it was a double dribble, and that was maybe the most brutal way I think I've lost a bet when he couldn't even get a shot off.
He's one of their best players, too. He just had a bad night.
Emmanuel Sharpshooter. Yeah, no, that was quite the collapse to the Kings champion from last year, Florida. King, can you do it 2 years in a row? Give me your early shot in the dark Final Four here. I'm not giving you a bracket this year. You got to go in blind.
No, I know. I'm going to stick with Duke, and I'll probably amend that when I get to my bracket, but I really
sure.
But I like them. I mean, I like the way they're playing as a team, and Michigan's the obvious one to put in. But the one I'd say keep an eye is there's always one that sneaks in. I'm going to say Virginia, and I liked what Jimmy said about that because that guard is really good for is it Arkansas? What was his name again?
Darius Acuff.
Acuff is really good. I mean, he is NBA, you know, stuff, and he's impressive to watch. I didn't have them picked, but now that you mentioned, I've seen that guy, and he is good. Houston, I like. They always have a brand of ball that they take care of business. You know, they're always in their game. They're never out of a game because of the way they play D, and their style. They make you play their way. So I'll say them out. You know. Houston, Michigan, Duke, and Virginia would be my four.
Sure. I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Well, now
how about yourself? Where did you
how about me?
At?
Oh, my early shot in the dark Final Four? Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't have one prepared. I just have the questions here for y'all. But no, I'll put Michigan and Duke in there. For sure. I'm gonna throw UConn in there. And who would the fourth team? The fourth team is going to be a Cinderella. Cinderella's carriage will return. Actually, no, not a Cinderella. It'll be Darren Peterson and Kansas. That's my off the cuff. I'm gonna throw because Peterson he can't be practicing load management in the postseason. Even if he's cramping, he's gonna have to keep playing. So that'll be my other final four team I got is Kansas.
Wow. I remember the body cramps. Water bottles on the head. Ugh.
The worst is the foot cramp or my toe cramps. It's tough. But I didn't have any. I didn't have a ton of other questions. But the King, you said you had some questions prepared, right?
I did. I had a couple of things here. A couple of them we covered.
I have your questions written down here. If you had forgot them, and I can have you.
Yeah, go ahead.
For you. You have a question as the first question you
have. By the way, as it is Oscar night. My wife just told me we got a delivery, we just got a delivery that I've been voted best podcast guest of 2025-26.
Oh,
just
wow.
Receive this by
I don't know. I didn't, that's interesting because, you were supposed to like file, it was like, I think it cost $500 was the application. So, I'll send you the application and you can send the $500 to me just because, you know, it's just a clerical error, okay. But, you know, you still get the award, but just to certify it.
So okay.
Venmo me $500 and we'll be good right. There. You know, that's my right. Cut of the award there. No, I'm
what
kidding.
What are the questions that I had, Matt, that you can,
yes, the first you one you, find. The first one you had was kind of a two-part question. You said, what conference do you think will do well and what conference do you think will underperform? I don't know. I mean, personally, I'll say I think the Big 12 – I don't think the Big 10 is getting enough credit because, yeah, the bottom half is not great, but we got some teams at the top that I think can all make a run. I think Big 10 performs well, and I think the SEC will underperform outside of maybe Florida – maybe in Alabama, but I don't know. I think the SEC is overrated, but I don't know. It's weird to me because everyone's saying it's a down year for the SEC, but they're still projected to have the most teams in the tournament. I'm really hoping Auburn is on the bubble and is one of those first four out. But I guess Jimmy, you should probably
that could be. I didn't look at that closer, but
I don't know. That's Joe Lunardi, but Jimmy's our Joe Lunardi now, you know. Same question for you, Jimmy. What conference you think will do well? What conference you think will underperform? That's the King's question.
I think Big 12, Big 10, they'll do fine. And I would go opposite of what you said. I do think the SEC is overrated. But going back to what I said before, when these games start being played in March, the refereeing becomes a little tighter. The SEC plays a different brand of basketball than the Big Ten or the Big 12. They play up and down, quick basketball, where, you know, they get to the line a bunch. I think the SEC is going to perform pretty well, at least in the high part of that conference, like Florida, Arkansas, Alabama. I think they all do better than maybe expected. Mm-hmm. And I would say I think the ACC probably has a tough time. I do think Virginia and Duke are good teams, but I think Duke is probably my least favorite one seed.
Interesting.
Not a knock on them. I just
they're the number one overall.
Yeah, they will probably. They will be. And I think Virginia's a good team too, but I think the other teams that sneak in there probably our early exits. So I think the SEC probably overperforms a little bit. Okay. ACC maybe not as much.
Interesting. I'm going to take note because that's good to know.
King, do you care to answer your own question? Parker, or I guess
I think the Big 12, looking at it, you know, again, I haven't followed as close, but I, you know, from what I've seen and what I've read, I believe the Big 12 slightly, and I would have taken the ACC second. And then go SEC, Big Ten. No, you're talking that they're strong. I think the both of you like them a little bit more than I do, but or a lot more than I do. I've seen inconsistencies. All I've seen in that conference, and they always break out okay. They always win, you know, good share. Because I'm always talking to my guys from the East Coast. they make fun of the brand of basketball that the Big Ten plays, you know, and the plotting type, you know, in their minds. And all of a sudden, you know, I'll be chest out. Big Ten won 7 of 8 the first round. And then, you know, reality kind of gets there. And they don't get anybody recently. You know, you haven't seen the Michigan States or the Michigans or the Wisconsin or anybody, you know, close to the Final Four. But I don't know. I'm sticking with the ACC. I like a lot of those teams. Now, maybe I've seen a lot more of their games. I like Virginia. I've seen them 3 times this year.
Yeah.
And I've liked what I've seen all 3 times. And I even like teams like Louisville and some others that can get waxed by certain teams but can also play really tough against decent opponents.
Yeah.
You know, they're in games, and they're like 6th or 7th in that conference, you know. And I think they're going to get in. They're going to be a bubble team, but I think they're getting in. Anyway, my thing is I don't think the ACC is the best, but I think they're right there. I think they're the most underappreciated and will prove to be, you know, I think they get 2 teams into the Final Four. I think Duke and maybe Virginia, North Carolina even a longer shot. But
no,
I don't know.
Fair.
Jimmy, I'm going to take what you said, though. I want to read more about that, especially with the refereeing. I've seen it the other way, too, where Houston sets the tone. You call a couple fouls and you start bitching from the bench, and the next thing they start toning down the, you know, and they allow it to be your game, you know.
That's happened too. I think another arm of that essentially is when you play in a conference like the Big Ten or the Big 12 and it's so physical, you do just sort of get beaten up over time too. So that could be part of it as well. But I think generally they want an up and down high scoring contest in the NCAA tournament, which favors the teams that like to run and play less defense, where, you know, a lot of
the
Big Ten.
Seen that from Alabama in the past couple
exactly.
of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a good example. MO.
They play in the 90s, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, another, since I guess you don't have them in front of you, King, another question you had, and I'll place to Jimmy here, was best pro prospect and under the radar, ? I don't know if under the radar is that's not really a complete sentence, King, but I think we know what you mean.
That one I put out to you guys because the guy I like is evidently not under the radar because it was that Arkansas kid.
Yeah.
I think that guy is a bona fide NBA, you know, star.
I think he's projected to go in the top 10 here. No, that's a dangerous
team. He's top
10,
I would think, yeah, for sure. But I love that guy. And then, you know.
He's answering his own question here.
No, I know. But in that one, I would have said that one is an underperformer and wasn't thinking about him till you brought him up earlier, Jimmy, when you were talking about Arkansas.
How would you answer the question, though, Jimmy? You got to take your own guy in Lawrence, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the best prospect right now is Darren Peterson. I would take him. He is the best pure scorer I've seen in college since Kevin Durant. It's very similar, actually, where they just make these shots that you're like, that doesn't seem like anybody should be able to do that. And he does play defense. He's a good passer. He's good. He does it all. I think he's a surefire NBA All-Star if the health is there. The flip side of that is I do think A.J. DeBonsa might have the highest ceiling of anybody.
Sure.
Because he's still pretty, he's pretty raw still. And he gets 25 a night.
I saw he's even considering returning for, you know, next year, which is interesting because he's probably going to be number 2 pick after Peterson at this point.
Yeah. You know what? Darren said that in his post game yesterday.
Oh, really?
And he said, who knows, maybe I'll be back. And, you know, they're not coming back. But, you know, those two, I think, are on a different level than the other two or the rest of the class, even Boozer.
Yeah,
I think Peterson's as sure as it gets, minus the health, and then DeBonsa has the highest ceiling. If you're looking for an under-the-radar guy, it is probably Acuff. Kingston Fleming's from Houston is awesome. I love Caleb Wilson from North Carolina, even though he breaks his hand every other week, it seems like.
That's unfortunate.
And then,
now, is he injured for the tournament?
He's done. He's done.
He is done. Yeah.
He was coming back from a broken wrist, and then he broke his thumb in practice, and so he
take
had
back
surgery.
Everything I said about that conference. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, it's just the one team. You had Virginia and Duke. You're good, right?
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm fine with that. I like the ACC.
But yeah, I don't have really anything else. But I want you to word this question, King, because I don't even understand the way you worded the question. You had some questions about NIL, and I guess I'm not quite sure where you were going with it. So what was kind of your question about the whole NIL and transfer portal and whatnot?
I was and when I gave you asked me to if there were some questions I had. Yes. I don't ever, every time I hear anything to do with money, salary cap, plateaus in the NBA, and this and that, and NIL, these ears shut. It's just like when my wife talks about me doing work. My
selective hearing.
A big flap goes over, and yeah. I don't want to hear it. And I'm telling you this, I know nothing about, and I said, it might be something where you guys discuss it. What is an NIL? I know it's some kind of licensing. How does it affect how these teams get players? In a simple explanation. I don't want to hear, you know.
What is an NIL? I'll tell you, it stands for name, image, likeness.
There we go.
I know that. That's a start. Did you know that?
Okay. So, all right.
No, sorry. I'll let Jimmy answer this one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not like an expert on the subject, but players can get paid now, whether it's through advertisements or whatever, but the schools can actually pay them now too. And that comes from donors, boosters, athletic department, whatever you want to call it. They're not all on a level playing field. I have it on pretty good authority that Darren Peterson's making $4 or $5 million a year this year. So, and it, you know, it's it varies from team to team. But I bet you, based on your knowledge of what NIL means, you will not be able to guess who the most expensive team is in college basketball this year.
Duke.
It is not Duke. $22 million for the roster of who? One more guess. DK, go.
UConn?
The Kentucky Wildcats have the most expensive roster in college basketball.
Really?
Oh, wow.
$22 million.
So I guess money can't buy everything.
Money? Kansas State Wildcats, not that far behind. Kansas State, not that.
That kind of explains the Kansas State coach's comments a little more before he got fired.
Yeah.
That explains it a little more.
That coach gets to decide who he's paying too, by the way. So you know he's not out of the woods. But
okay,
yeah. I mean, so
oh my god, Kansas State blows me away. Kentucky, I could see. I mean, that's you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it goes to show you can pay these guys, but you still need to have the infrastructure and the coach to make it work. So,
the second part of that question was, do you guys think this enhances a program like Wisconsin? Will we see more of these to get? Because lately it's been just these top, you know, programs that have been winning.
I mean, I think to an extent. I mean, if you just look at Wisconsin, the last 2 years, our best player the last 2 years was a transfer who, I mean, I don't know how much exactly we paid John Tanja or what we're paying Nick Boyd right now, but I guarantee they wouldn't come here, you know, if we weren't, you know, giving them kind of that top dollar. You know, maybe we can't pay as much as a Kentucky, but that's my, you know, concern. I've heard a lot of people say it. It's like, is this NIL, like, paying players, is that the death of the Cinderella? And I hope it's not, you know, I hope we see Cinderella return this year, but obviously now you got money involved, it's starting to feel a little bit more like Major League Baseball.
Doesn't it seem
like
it's just a
right?
joke? I mean, I'm all for the college athlete, but it's become a joke. How do we not have a minor league system, you know, and have each state have a franchise or something? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, these people are paid more than, you know, any, the entire, you know, teaching staffs or the, you know, of the university, you know, I mean, you know, you could lump them all together and pay their salaries. You could pay half the faculty. And it's just a joke. We're waiting, you know, the sports. I know that pays for a lot of things, but it's really not a, it's, It's just that that's the jumbled disconnect that I have. But I guess I didn't realize how that works about the...
That's where I think Calipari makes a couple of good points. Is he's like, they need to put like hard set rules in to structure this a lot more. Because right now it's just... it's willy-nilly. It started off by, oh, we'll give you a Mountain Dew sponsorship. And now, like Jimmy said, you can just pay him directly. So it's we're kind of in a little bit of gray area as they kind of transition into this era right here, right? I mean.
I would like if they gave them, like, a rule to stay for 2+ years, you know? Like, where, you know, AJ Storr went to 6 different colleges or whatever, right? Like, make these guys play for the same coach for a couple of years and get back to what everybody likes about college basketball. You know?
Badger and Jayhawk legend, AJ Storm.
Yeah, Badger and Jayhawk legend. Now he's rotting at Ole Miss, right?
Who was that?
We'll see. AJ Storm. He's been on every team. Yeah. He's been on all the teams, but yeah, I don't know. I hope he gets a shot in the NBA here, but I don't know. He's probably made enough money in college to where it might not matter. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really have anything else for you guys today. But, yeah, thanks so much for joining them. Sorry if I was a little – I don't know. I might have been a little wonky today. I think I had too many IPAs yesterday. But it was a fun little college basketball roundtable here today. So, thanks for joining me today, guys.
We'll revisit these picks or these thoughts. Now, we never did that for football, Matt, but my Rams – Denver mid-season and late-season picks. They're close.
Close.
Very close. Denver should have got to the championship if Knicks didn't get hurt. But anyway, we got to revisit these. We never revisit. I've hit them now pretty close.
Another round table once the actual Final Four is there. We'll see. Maybe we nailed it without even seeing the bracket.
Yeah, we got to look at the bracket. But Jimmy, good stuff. And Matt, as always, thank you. Always appreciate coming on. And you've got to teach me so I get my podcast up in front of me.
Yes, the king in his court. Coming soon.
All right.
But, thanks again, Jimmy, and good luck to your Kansas Jayhawks. We'll see. Maybe, who knows, maybe the Badgers and Jayhawks get into a maybe an Elite Eight game here or something. Maybe we meet up at some point during the tournament.
I'd love that.
What do you think each team's going to be?
Just I think Wisconsin, quick, I mean, we just beat Purdue yesterday, so I think that might have moved us up a line. We might be at a 6 seed. We'll see what happens in the Big Ten tournament, but I'd say around a 6 seed at this point. But it'll depend on how it plays out in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament, I think.
Jayhawks should be at a 4 right now, and if they do they make me look smart and win the Big 12 tournament, they probably get 2 or 3.
A 3, okay.
I think Badgers.
I like that number of 8.
Badgers
eight
move
up.
Yeah, that. Same thing for the Badgers. If the Badgers win the Big 10 tournament, I think they move up to a 5. But I don't know. I keep thinking back to what you said last year, King, and you were right. You nailed it with Walter Clayton Jr. in Florida. You said if you're a team that's going to win March Madness, you need to have assassins. You need these assassins at guard. And Wisconsin's got 2 of them in the starting lineup. And Braden Carrington off the bench, that's kind of a third assassin we've got. And obviously, Jimmy, you got the assassin of all assassins with Darren Peterson there. So, good luck to your Jayhawks in the tournament. And, both of you guys, thanks so much for pulling up. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Matt.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. Rock Chalk.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Go Badgers. All righty, guys. That's a wrap.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.